forgiveness and repentance. As I thought of this lesson, I would put God's forgiveness and man's repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is the turning away from sin that we have now faced and acknowledged and confessed. There's no cover-up. There's no excuses. We don't bring in any extenuating circumstances. We just say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And then we keep in mind the memory verse, I will cleanse, I will pardon. God's empowering takes over at that moment. God is ready to forgive, he is ready to cleanse, he is ready to pardon, he is ready to supply grace, he is ready to take over in the human life. Part number one, turning from sin. No human being can do this on his own. Although all men and women and children have sinned, every human being that has ever been born, the turning away from him is the product of the Holy Spirit. No man comes to God unless the Father draw him. No man can see the kingdom of heaven except he is given the vision that comes from the Holy Ghost, part of the new birth. The vision possible, the horror-filled look at his own evil heart. These are produced by God. God draws at the right time and at the right place in God's own method. Every man that cometh into the world receives a spark of light. He is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I don't understand it. I just believe that inspired statement. Now what does man do? No man is teaching another man, telling his brother, know the Lord. From the least to the greatest, God is going to teach. But now, as he did in the case of Ananias and Saul of Tarsus, he tells the elder of the church in Damascus, you go to certain sort of street and give a Bible study to Saul. Baptize him. He's ready. I don't know how old Saul of Tarsus was. I think that he kept with the years. In AD 35, on the Damascene Road, he was probably around about 35. All his life, he had been a self-made, Gamaliel-made, Pharisee-made, Hebrew-made man, thought himself perfect in every way. Now he needed somebody to come to him, but the initial work had been done by the Holy Ghost. Ready to forgive, ready to accept, using a human agent to bring about the link with God's people. Part number two, David's example of true repentance. David thought he was very clever. Commander-in-chief, nobody would see the implications of his secret order to his local general. Put Uriah in charge of a dangerous mission. His seduction of Bathsheba, his murder of Uriah, birth of a child, the approach of Nathan, the collapse of his ego, and the abject, penitent David is the result. All this was brought about by the ministry of the Spirit. A change in attitude, the desire for forgiveness, and as we read the Psalms that are called the penitential Psalms, David became thoroughly aware of what he had done against God and against man. His repentance was deep, genuine, and thorough. Purge me with hyssop. Wash me and I shall be clean. He realized that inside him he needed cleansing, renewal. He needed a right mind, a right spirit, a clean heart. His thinking, his philosophy, his attitude towards life, his misuse of power, all these sins crowded around his adultery with Bathsheba. And David realized that he was a mess. But he cast himself upon God, whom he had learned to love, and begged for pardon, and was completely forgiven. Now the skeptic takes the statement that is made that David was a man after God's own heart and says, how can that apply to Uriah? How can that apply to his murders and his bad temper and his adultery and his polygamy? But the act that heaven approved and declared was after God's own heart was David's repentance, confession, and forsaking of that sin. Part number 3, human forgiveness is limited. It cannot remove the guilt. God tells me to forgive as I am forgiven. I can forgive my fellow men, but I cannot remove their gift. Let me ask a question. If I forgive one who sins against me, does this obviate the necessity for him to seek forgiveness from God for the wrong he has done to me? And to ask the question is to see the answer. Of course not. I can forgive him, and I should forgive him, but then he must turn to God and ask forgiveness. Joseph looked at these two angles when he was propositioned by Potiphar's wife. How can I do this sin against you and myself, and against God? So there are sins that I can forgive that folk commit against me, but they must gain forgiveness as they confess their sins to God. So my sin against my fellow human being requires me to gain forgiveness from that human being as well as from God, whose name I have taken. So I must pray with David, create in me, make a new creation, a clean heart. Now forgiveness cannot do this. Forgiveness cannot do this. God's forgiveness makes this possible. When he has removed my guilt, he starts me in a new birth towards a new creation. Part number 4. God reconciles all things. Those all things include man's relationship to God, man's relationship to man, man's relationship to the universe, man's relationship to his environment. All things are to be reconciled. One note of harmony is once again to throb through the universe. And this all begins with forgiveness. When Jesus came, lived among men, set man an example, died on Calvary, through him heaven purposed to reconcile all things. Sin broke relationships. And as we meditate upon this fact, it broke every relationship. Today we hear much talk about the ecology, the slashing and burning of forests, the cutting down of forests, the ripping from the earth of its treasures, the attitudes that man is taking in his greed to pollute the atmosphere. All these are breaking relationships. It's amazing how when man does something to try to free his crops from insects or his marshes from mosquitoes, that he kills birds and other animals in far distant places. Sin produces broken relationships. The plan of salvation carried out through Jesus Christ is to restore all things one day to total harmony with God's will. Part number 5. God's forgiveness takes man's sin seriously. He doesn't say, "Oh yeah, I forget. Forget it. I'll forgive you." God takes this extremely seriously. Think of the steps that heaven has taken. Christ emptied himself, laid aside the independent exercise of certain prerogatives of deity, handed them over to his Father. Although to be fully God was nothing he wanted to grasp at because he had it in his hand, he became like a man, obedient unto death, the death on the cross of a condemned prisoner. He was afflicted. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them because of his affliction. He lifted them up and carried them as a shepherd does. But they rebelled and grieved him. Therefore, although he was turned to be their enemy, fought against them, his one purpose was to bring them back. Sin has all kinds of consequences. Think of Saul's sin when he refused to carry out God's instruction to annihilate Amalek. Saul saved King Agag, as well as thousands of Amalekites. 6 centuries later, Haman was descended from Agag, and in the court of Persia, he sought to exterminate the Jews. So the consequences of Saul's disobedience spanned more than half a millennium and reached into another country and produced terrible results for a whole generation that was not even born. Now, Jesus Christ's death on Calvary not only paid for the guilt and the penalty of sin, but in the plan of salvation took care of the consequences of sin to the end of time. Part number 6, Focus of the Week. In forgiveness and repentance, the important thing is a broken heart. A broken and a contrite heart, God is ready to accept at any time. A broken and contrite heart is a very personal thing. I cannot be heartbroken for somebody else. I cannot be contrite for somebody else. The human will must be exercised. Choices must be made. When God forgives, the sinner must come into the right relationship. There must be no intact will. There must be no intact ego. Self must be broken. It must be destroyed. It must die. There must be a confession specifically, an acknowledgement without excuse. This attitude is the human parallel to the divine gift of forgiveness. When divine forgiveness and human brokenness, acceptance and acknowledgement of sin and guilt, with no argument, come together, the new birth occurs, and divine grace will make a new creation. The goal of forgiveness and repentance is the restoration of the sinner. This requires a personal involvement. Every Christian, every disciple must himself, with dependence upon no other human being, choose to respond to all the implications that the Spirit brings to him regarding what God has done and his state. And then the results of forgiveness and repentance is acceptance of a new creation by heaven.